The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Nazir has been dedicated by our good friend Haimi and Dina Dana. Hashem Yishmirem V'Hayim. V'Hatzlacha for all their children that they should be Mehunach Alpi Toratenu HaKedusha. They should grow up and they should be Zochel Torah U'Mitzvot U'L'Chupa ולמעשים טובים, ובפרט, רפואה שלמה, ומשה בן דינה, אין נא רפנה לו, בתוך שאר חולי עמו ישראל, וגם רפואה שלמה, פנינה, בת אסתר, אין נא רפנה לה, אין נא רפנה לה, אין נא רפנה לה, רפואת הנפש ורפואת הגוף, ורפואתה קרבה לבוא, וכן ירסון, ונאמר אמן, וזכות המסכת נזיר, יגן בעדם, אמן.
דף מם Zayin. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Mor Zekini Rabbi Yosef Ben Sarah Rabbi Abraham Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tenichem Began Eden Amen. Today's daf is being studied Refuah Shelema Moshe Ben Dina Sarah Ruhama Bat Rachel Sarah Bat Rachel Rami Mordechai Tzemach Eliyahu Ben Mazal Tov Enna Refer Lahem Enna Refer Lahem Enna Refer Lahem Fat Nefesh Ufat Aguf Fatam Kerba Labo Vechen Yerusom Venomar Amen. We begin today's daf on Mem Vav Amud Bet, and we are starting from the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud. The Mishnah says, Gilach al Azebah, which means he brought the sacrifice, which we're talking about now in Nazir. So at the end of his Nazirut, he has to bring three Korbanot, and of course he has to shave his hair. So let's say he brought one of the Korbanot, and after he brought one of the korbanot, he shaved his hair. However, what happened, v'nimsa pasul, came out that for some reason, the korban that he brought was pasul. How was it pasul? For different reasons. Either, let's say, the blood that he sprinkled, let's say the blood fell on the floor. So if the blood falls on the floor, so then already it becomes tameh. Well, let's say the animal was taken out of the azara, was taken out of the place where it's supposed to be. So therefore, the animal became pasul. So what's the deen? Teglachto pesula. Number one, his haircut, his shaving becomes pasul. Vizvachav lo aludo. And his korbanot do not count. Well, we understand why his korbanot don't count, because they're pasul. However, the chiddush over here is that the shaving that he did is no good, because the law is he brings a korban, right? Sprinkles the blood, and then he shaves his head. His shaving is connected to the korban. But if the korban is no good, so then the shaving is no good. That means it comes out that he ended up shaving while he's still a nazir, because the nazirut only is concluded if he sprinkles the blood and he shaves. But if he shaves without bringing a korban, so it doesn't count as anything. So it's like he shaved early. So therefore now he's got to wait another 30 days in order for his hair to grow, in order that he could do another shaving. Since his korban was no good, so therefore the shaving becomes no good that he did. And therefore he's got to start over again for 30 days. In any event, the subject of it we're talking about is where he brought the korban became pasul, so therefore the haircut that he took also becomes pasul, and therefore he's got to start 30 days. And of course the korbanot do not count, which means, let's say he brought the other two korbanot now, so they're not going to count, because once already you say that his shaving doesn't count, so therefore the korbanot that he's bringing is nothing. It's not considered for a korban. So he's got to start again. So the Mishnah gives an example. Gilach ala chatat shelo lishma. The Mishnah gives an example of a case where a guy brought the korban, and the korban was pasul. Let's say he brought a hatat, but not for the sake of hatat. One of the korbanot that the nazir brings at the end of his process is a korban hatat. Now, a korban hatat, one thing about it is it has to be brought lishma. It has to be brought for the sake of hatat. If a korban hatat, for example, is brought lishem ola, so the hatat becomes pasul. And then let's say he shaved on that korban hatat, ve'acharkach hevi korbanotav lishman, and then he brought the other korbanot, for example, the ola and the shilamin, He brought them for the right intention. Doesn't matter. Tiglachto pisula. His haircut is no good. The shaving is no good. Why? Because he brought it on a korban that was pisula. Uzbahav lo alulo. And the subsequent korbanot that he brought do not count. And therefore, like we said again, he's got to count another 30 days for his hair to grow. Then he starts again. Now, gilah al ha'ola o al ha'shelamim shelo lishman. Now the Mishnah says a chidush. Let's say he brought the korban ola first, and he shaved on the korban ola. Because really, technically, b'di'avad, the person can shave on any of the three korbanot. The chattahila, we said in the Gemara, is supposed to shave on the shelamim, or according to one opinion, on the hatat. But let's say b'di'avad, any korban that he shaved on is okay. So what do you do? Let's say he brought the korban ola first, and he brought the ola shelo lishma. Now here's the chidush. When it comes to an ola, or for that matter a shelamim, if it's brought shelo lishma, which means that you brought an ola for the sake of a different korban, well, it doesn't ole, it doesn't count as a korban ola, but the korban is still kasher, meaning it counts as a nedava. So the point over here is, the korban is a kasher korban, but not a, it doesn't become a mandatory ola. So the question is, he shaved on his shelamim or his ola that he brought shelo lishma. So the Mishnah says, so let's give one simple case. He brought his ola, but he didn't bring the ola l'shem korban ola. So the korban is valid as a nidava. And then he brought the shelamim for the right reason, and he brought the hatat for the right reason, and he shaved after the korban ola that was brought shelo lishma. So it says the deen is tiglachto pesula. Again, his head shaving is pesula. Uzbahav lo alun korbanot are not going to count for him. Why? Because bottom line, even though the ola is a kosher korban, because even though he brought a shelo lishma, but it's not kosher for a korban olat chayuv, and therefore his tiglachat is pesula, because the haircut has to be on a korban ola, and therefore even though let's say the sacrifice can be brought up, but it's not brought up as a mandatory korban ola, which the nazir has to bring. Therefore, again, this is a case where the tiglachat is pesula, and therefore he has to wait the 30 days again. So the Mishnah continues. The Mishnah says, "Hadushna in the name of Rabbi Shimon." Rabbi Shimon Omer, "Oto hazevach lo alalo." That, let's say, ola or that shelamim that he brought shelo lishma, that korban does not count. However, about shear zevachim alu, but the other korbanot that he brought, let's say, he brought a shelamim shelo lishma. Okay, he says that korban shelamim, you have to bring it again. However, the haircut that he took is going to be okay. We have to see why, even though he brought the shelamim shelo lishma, and the ola and the hatat that he brought lishma will count. Which is according to the B Shimon, he does not have to start the nizirut over again. The Mishnah gives a final halacha, v'im gilach al shiloshtan, which means, let's say he brought all three korbanot, and then after all three korbanot, he shaved. V'nimsa echad mehin kasher, and let's say only one of them was kasher. Let's say the other two became pasul for whatever reason, but bottom line, one was kasher. Tiglachto kashera. His shaving is valid. Why? Because bottom line, we say that it was on one of the three. And since one of the three were kasher, so his haircut is kasher. However, the yavish ar zivachim, which means whatever korban became pasul, he has to bring them again. So therefore, let's say he brought ola, shelamim, and hatat. Right? He brought them all in one shot. And then he shaved after all three. So as long as one of them is kasher, we say he was shaving on that one. And then whatever ones were pasul, we'll have to bring them over again. Now the Gemara wants to analyze the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Again, Rabbi Shimon's shita was what? That as long as the he brought, let's say, a shelamim, shelo lishma, and then he shaved, his shaving is okay. And the subsequent korbanot that he brought lishma are okay. He just has to bring another shelamim. So what do you see over here? I'm out of adab bar ahava zot omeret kasabar Rabbi Shimon nazir shegilach al shalmei nedava yatza. From here you see that if a nazir shaved on a shelamim that's only a nedava, the shaving is okay. Because what did I tell you? When a person brings a korban shelamim shelo lishma, it counts for a shalmei nedava. It doesn't count for a mandatory shelamim, so you'll have to bring another shelamim, but it's a valid korban in the sense that it's considered a voluntary korban. So what is, from the fact that Rabbi Shimon said that he just has to bring the Bishamon said that he has to the other korbanot that he brought are legitimate, And the first korban he just to rebring. That's mashma what? That doesn't have to do another 30 days. That means if he shaved on a shenamim that went for nedava, it's okay. So the Gemara says, my tama, what's the reason? It says, regarding when it's talking about putting his hair, it says he puts his hair under the korban shelamim. The Torah calls it shelamim. Velo katav al shelamav. It doesn't say his shelamim, which is mashma that even if it's a shelamim, not a mandatory shelamim. For example, he wrote the shelamim shelo lishma. It is a shelamim still. It's a shelamim, it's shel menedava. It doesn't say shelamav, his shelamim. So from there, Rabbi Shimon learns that even if he brought it as a nedava, it is going to count for his teglachat. Comes the next Mishnah. Mi shenizrak alav echad min adamim. Okay, new case. Let's say they sprinkled, one of the korbanot. Okay, they sprinkled the blood of one of the korbanot. Okay, and then what happened in the interim before they were able to sprinkle the other korbanot? Vinitma, the nazir became tamer. You talk about a nazir that finished his nazirut. He's finished the 30 days. He's bringing his korbanot. They sprinkled korban number one, and after that he became tamer. Rabbi the Ezer Omer, Rabbi the Ezer says, Soter et hakol. Rabbi the Ezer says, he forfeits all his days. V'achamim omrim, achamim say, Yavi she'ar korbanotav v'yitar. Rabbi Hakamim say, no, let him bring the rest of his korbanot and let him just purify himself, which means he doesn't soter. Let him just count 7 days, according to the Hakamim, till he becomes tahor. And let him bring the other korbanot, and therefore he's finished. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. Now, which means, like we said, he has to, the one that he sprinkled the blood is considered kasher, because according to the Chachamim, once, we learned this earlier, according to the Chachamim, once he sprinkles the blood of one animal, for all practical purposes, his nezirut is over. Right, we learned that once you sprinkle the blood already, he can drink wine and he can become tameh. So therefore, once he sprinkled the blood of the first animal and then he became tameh, it's okay. He just has to wait 7 days until he becomes tahor again, so he can bring the other two animals. But Rabbi Eliezer, it's mashma from this mishnah, he says no. In this case, soter et hakol. And the reason is because we learned earlier, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that the nazir is a nazir until he finishes all his process, which means he has to finish everything, right through the tenufa, like we learned. So therefore, if he became tameh in the interim, so therefore his korban was not valid, and therefore he cannot bring any more korbanot on that day, obviously, because he is tameh. So therefore, soter et hakol, he's going to have to start again. The Gemara will explain what does that mean, he has to start again. Amru lo, so the Hakamim tell Rabbi Eliezer a story. Ma'ase b'Miriam b'Tarmudit. There was a story with a lady. She was Miriam from Tarmud. She was a Nazira. She nizrak alea echad min adamim. Right? She came to the Beit HaMikdash. They sprinkled the blood of one of her korbanot. Uba v'amru la al bita shaita misukeret. So then they came and told her about her daughter that was in danger of dying. And she actually went and she saw that her daughter indeed died. And she became now Teme'ah. She became Tamemet because she was in the room with her daughter. The Amru Hachemim, the rabbi said, Tavi She'ar Korbenotea V'Tetar. So the rabbi said, the first Korban that she brought is okay because she brought it B'Tahara. Now that she became Tameh, no problem. Let her wait 7 days and let her bring the other two korbanot. So they're bringing a story to the Bili Ezer where you see that you don't have to start again in such a case. And you see the Ma'aseh that they just told her to bring her two korbanot when she becomes Teora. So comes the Gemara and says, Ketani, we learned in our Mishnah, Rabbi Bili Ezer Omer Soter Etakon, which means, in this case, over according to Bili Ezer, where she, the fellow became Tameh after the sprinkling of the first korban, so we say Soter Etakon, which is Mashma. He got to start again from scratch. He's got to start his nazirut all over again. What do you mean? V'amar b'di ha'ezer, kol ahar melot shiv'a soter. We learned the b'di ha'ezer shita earlier in the Masechet. The b'di ha'ezer shita was, he had a chidush, that when a Nazir becomes Tameh on day 30, which is at the end of his Nazirut, so since he made it to the end, there's a special law that he only has to count 7 days till he becomes Tahor, and then he brings his Korbanot. Which is, when does he have to count the 30 again? When he becomes Tameh in the middle of his Nazirut. But it'd be the Aizlat HaHidush, that if he becomes Tameh on the last day, he only has to wait 7. So the Chavrat is that last day. Why is it be the Aizlat saying now Mishnah Sotera Kol? He should just say he has to count another 7. Amarav, my Soter Named Kamar be the Aizlat. Yeah, what did Rabbi Eliezer mean when he said soter, soter korbanotav? Which means, he means that his korbanot are invalid. But you're right, he only has to keep really 7 days. Because he became tameh on the last day. But the point of Rabbi Eliezer is that since his first korban is invalid, because bottom line, he became tameh after it, so since he became Tameh after it, so that first Korban is invalid, and now he has to bring all 3 Korbanot later on. So therefore, comes out we have a Mahloket between the Rabbi Eliezer and Hachamim. Really, everybody agrees he has to wait another 7 days, not another 30. But the point is the first Korban going to be Kashir? According to Hachamim, if he was Tameh after the first Korban was sprinkled, he has to wait 7 days and just bring the other 2. The first Qurban is kashir. Whereas according to the Bidi Ezer, that first Qurban is indeed going to be pasul. And therefore in 7 days he has to bring all 3 Qurbanot. And the logic is because according to the Bidi Ezer, technically the Nizirut is on him till after he brings the Qurbanot, till he finishes all the rituals. So therefore, since after they finished only 1 Korban, he became Tameh, so technically that Korban becomes invalid. So all the Bidi Ezer is saying that 7 days later you have to bring all 3. So again, let's crystallize the Mahloket between the Bidi Ezer and Hachamim. Do you have to bring all 3 Korbanot in 7 days? That's the Bidi Ezer Shita. Or did you just have to bring the 2 Korbanot? That's according to the Hachamim. Now the Gemara says, Hachi Nameh Mistabra. It makes sense to say that the machloket is the first korban valid or not? That's the machloket between the Bidi Ezer and Hachamim. Dektani, because we learned in our Mishnah, Hachamim omrim yavi she'ar korbanotav v'yitar. The Hachamim said, let him bring the rest of his korbanot. Mashma, that the point of the Hachamim is that he only has to bring the rest of his korbanot, but the first korban is valid. Mashma, that the Bidi Ezer is arguing and saying even the first korban is invalid. So from the fact that the Hachamim said bring the rest, mashma, that the Bidi Ezer says you have to bring all 3. And the Gemara brings another proof. And we brought a story from the Mishnah, from this lady called Miriam HaTarmudit, Shinizrak, Aleha Had Min HaDamim, where the blood of one of her korbanot was sprinkled, Uba'u, V'odi'uha, Al Bita Shaitam Mesukenet. Right? They told her about her daughter that was in danger of dying, Ba'al Chamat Sashmet, and she found out that she actually died and she became Teme'ah. The Amru Hachamim, where the rabbis tell her, Tavi She'ar Korbanotea V'titar. Right, she has to bring the rest of the korbanot. Shema minada. Wow, we learned from it that according to the Bidi Ezer, she would not have to bring only the rest, but she would have to bring actually all 3 korbanot. So that's the machloket between the Bidi Ezer and Hachamim. If a Nazir became Tameh after the first korban, to what extent, 7 days from then, to what extent of the korbanot it has to be brought? So the Bidi Ezer is going to hold that since the Nizirut, like we learned earlier, is on the Nazir until after the whole process, so when he becomes Tameh after the first Korban, that first Korban becomes invalid. So therefore, 7 days later, he's got to start again. But the Hachamim say no. Once he brought the first Korban, it's over. So the first Korban was good, but now he's Tameh, so he has to wait 7 days to bring the subsequent 2 Korbanot. And now we begin the next Mishnah, the 7th Perek of Masechet Nazir. And the Mishnah begins. Kohen Gadol v'Nazir. Now, you have a Kohen Gadol. Now, we know a Kohen Gadol regarding the laws of Tum'ah. A Kohen Gadol is not allowed to accept upon himself corpse Tum'ah, Tum'at Met, even for his relatives. Okay, it's a strict din of a Kohen Gadol. And incidentally, that is the same law as v'Nazir. A Nazir also is not allowed to receive corpse tum'ah, even on a relative. Okay, so it says, Kohen gadol v'nazir, en mitame'in klobehen. They are not allowed to become tame even for their relatives. Aval mitameein the mit mitzvah. However, both of them are allowed to be tameh for a mit mitzvah. That's a corpse that they found in the field, let's say. There's nobody else to bury them. Right? They're the only ones that can do this mitzvah. So it's unattended. So it's their obligation to bury them. Now, the Mishnah says, Hayu malchin baderech. Let's say a Nazir and a Kohen Gadol were both walking on the road. Umatzu mit mitzvah. Right? And they found now a mit mitzvah. So the question is, which one of the two should do the burial for the mit mitzvah? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer's logic is, Yitama Kohen Gadol va'al Yitama Nazir. He says, let the Kohen Gadol become Tameh and not the Nazir. V'achamim omrim, Yitama Nazir va'al Yitama Kohen Hedyot. So, Hachamim come along and say, not only the Nazir should become Tameh, in this case, over a Kohen Gadol, but a Nazir should become Tameh even over a Kohen Hedyot. Now, a Kohen Hedyot, it's a regular Kohen, is allowed to be mitameh to seven relatives. Okay? So therefore, a Kohen Hedyot is really weaker in one sense than a Nazir, because he can be mitameh to relatives. And still, Hachamim say that if there's a mit mitzvah, the Nazir should mitameh even over a Kohen Hedyot. Okay, so now we have to see what's the logic. Amar lehem Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer explains his logic to the rabbis. Yitama kohen she'eno movi korban al tumato, va'al yitama nazir shehu movi korban al tumato. As we learned, a nazir that becomes tameh, he has to bring korbanot. He has to bring a korban, right? We said three korbanot, right? One for olah, one for hatat, one for asham. So that shows us that his tum'ah is stringent from the fact that the Torah mandates to bring a korban. However, if a kohen gadol, let's say, or a kohen for that matter, becomes tameh to a mit, he does not have to bring a korban. So you see, Rabbi Eliezer says the tum'ah of a kohen is not as strict as the tum'ah of a nazir, by the fact that the nazir has to bring a korban for his tum'ah and a kohen not. So you see that it's more strict than nazir. Therefore, if between a Nazir and a Kohen, let the Kohen become Tameh to the Met Mitzvah. That's the Bili Ezer Shita. That Nazir is more Hamur, his tumakos are the Korban. Amru lo, so the rabbi told him, Yitama Nazir, She'en Kedushato Kedushat Olam, Ve'al Yitama Kohen, She'kedushato Kedushat Olam. Hakarim look at it differently. They say the Kohen, his tumah is more strict and stringent than the Nazir. Why? Because a Kohen is a Kohen forever. He could never be Tameh to anybody. Mashiach and a Nazir is a temporary situation. So therefore, if it's a choice between a Nazir becoming Tameh to a Met Mitzvah, or even a Kohen Hedyot, the Hachamim come along and say, let the Nazir become Tameh. Because his Tumah is not as stringent. The rabbis look at it as is that a Nazir is a temporary situation. Right? After his Nizirut is over, he can become Tameh again. So he's not as strict as a Kohen that his Tumah is forever. So that's the two ways of looking at it. What is the strictness? Do you look at it of the strictness like the Be'ezah that says Nazir brings a korban at the end of his tum'ah? Or do you look at it like the Hachamim that say, no, but a Nazir is only temporary, but a Kohen is actually permanent, therefore the Nazir should become Tamir. Now the Gemara analyzes, Bishtama Kohen Gadol V'Nazir. Okay, I can understand the argument between the Be'ezah and the Hachamim. When you have a Kohen Gadol and Nazir, Hai Savar Kohen Gadol Adif, which means the rabbis are going to hold that the Kohen Gadol is better, is greater. Hai Savar Nazir Adif, right? And Rabbi Eliezer is going to hold that the Nazir is greater. Each one according to his logic. I have no problem with that. I can hear the argument that each one looks at, you know, the different logic. What makes the Nazir or the Kohen Gadol stricter? However, the Gemara's question is like this: Mashuach b'shem in a mishha umiruba begadim. Now, there's two types of Kohanim Gedolim. Let's discuss them. One is called a Mashuach. That is one that is was anointed with the special oil. The Kohanim from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu all the way to the King Yoshiyah, which was the end of the first Beit HaMikdash, the Kohanim Gedolim were anointed with special oil that was called Shemen HaMishha. However, a regular, after that time, Yoshiyah Melech, he hid the Shemen HaMishcha because he saw that the Beit HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. So he put the Shemen HaMishcha in Giniza. From that point on, the way they inaugurated Kohanim Gedolim was no more with Shemen HaMishcha. It was just putting on the Kohen Gadol the 8 garments. As we know, a Kohen Gadol wears 8 garments in his service. So he's called a Kohen that was sanctified by the Begadim. So you have two types of Kohanim Gedolim. One is called a Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha, that was anointed with the pouring of the oil on him. And there's another type of Kohen Gadol that is called a Merubah B'Begadim. Both are considered Kohanim Gedolim. So now let's discuss a case. You have a Kohen that is a Kohen Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha, and he's walking with a Kohen Merubah B'Begadim. Okay, they're both walking together, and they come in contact with a mitzvah. So the question is, whose sanctity is stronger? So the Gemara says, Mashuach b'shemen ha-mishcha adif. The one that was anointed with the shemen ha-mishcha, he is holier, he's greater, and therefore he does not become tamet to the mitzvah. Now why? Te'ilu mashuach b'shemen ha-mishcha mevi par haba al kol ha-mitzvot. Ve'ilu merubah begadim en mevi. We have a law. A regular law is like this. The law says that, let's say a regular person makes a sin, bishogeg. For example, he ate chilev. He ate fat. A regular guy. So the law is, he has to bring a korban hatat. Okay? That's the regular law. What does he bring? He brings a goat. That's the Torah law. He brings a goat for Sa'id Azim, the Hatat. However, the law is, let's say a Kohen Gadol makes that same sin, Bishogeg, he also has to bring a Korban Hatat. However, he brings a par. He brings a bull. So you see what? A Kohen Gadol is different than a regular person. But which Kohen Gadol brings a bull? If he makes a sin b'shogeg, that's only the Kohen that's Mashuach b'shemen ha-mishcha. But a merubah begadim does not. If he commits a sin b'shogeg, he brings a regular goat like everybody else. So you see, in one law, the Mashuach is more strict than a merubah begadim. The merubah begadim is like everybody else in the sense that if he makes a sin, he brings a regular korban hatat, where a kohen mashuach has to bring a korban, but he has to bring a par. So if you see, he's different, he's special. So therefore, if you have two kohanim walking in the street, a mashuach and a merubah begadim, so what happens? The law is going to be that the merubah begadim becomes tameh to the met mitzvah and not the mashuach. Now, there is a obvious question over here. How do you have a case where you have two Kohanim simultaneously walking in the street? One is a Merubah Begadim and one is a Mashuach. How could one of them been anointed and the other one not? How do you have two Kohanim over here, one year, one no? So the case over here, the Rosh says, is talking about where, let's say you had a Kohen Gadol that was anointed with the oil. Okay, fine, he's a Mashuach. And then after that, the oil was concealed. So there was no more oil after him. Now what happened? The anointed Kohen Gadol got sick. So what do? So they appoint another Kohen to take his place. Now the substitute Kohen is a Merubah Begadim, because there was no oil. And therefore, what happened? Now the law is, normally, if let's say the first Kohen gets better, so therefore the substitute Kohen does not serve anymore. And the first guy gets his job back. However, in this case, we're talking about where the first Kohen was out for a long period of time. And the law is that if the first Kohen, in this case it's the Mashuach, was out for a long period of time, so the substitute Kohen does not lose his job even when the original Kohen comes back. So here's a case where you have two Kohanim Gedolim that are able to serve. So therefore, again, the case was talking about we had a Mashuach. He got sick. They appointed another Kohen in his place, a substitute, which was a Merubah Begadim. The first Kohen was out for a long time. Therefore, when he came back, they don't take away the position from the substitute. So now you have a Merubah and a Mashuach. So again, back to the case. They're both walking down the street. and they see a mit mitzvah. So the deen is that the mashuach melchama, his kedusha is greater, because like we said, he has a special law, at least in one case, his law is greater by the korban hatat. So therefore, the mashuach does not metameh for the mit mitzvah, but the merubah begadim does. Okay, so now we discuss another case. The next case is mashuach she'avar. Okay, let's say you have a kohen gadol. It was mashuach. It was anointed with the oil. That what is called a kohen she'avar, which means is for whatever reason his term ran out and he's like retired. Okay, so he's called the kohen she'avar. He's not serving now. Umiruba begadim. And then you have a kohen who's actually still serving, but he's only merubah begadim. So both of them are together now, and they're in the street, and they find the mit mitzvah. So who's metameh? Merubah begadim adif. So of course, in this case, the one that was anointed with the clothes by wearing the eight garments, he is better in this case, and therefore he does not metameh. Why? The merubah begadim avid avodah. Because the merubah begadim, he's still serving. He's still working in the Beit HaMikdash. Vidu mashuach she'avar labar avodahu. The one that was retired, he's not fit to perform avodah anymore. He's not serving anymore. Which means, this guy over here, who is a mashuach, since he's not serving anymore, the law is that the kohen that is merubah begadim is stronger. Now, obviously, according to this shita, we have to analyze it. You have two kohanim. One is fit for service, one is not fit. The one that's fit is the merubah begadim. The one that was not fit for service is the mashuah. So therefore, the law is that the merubah does not become tameh, and the mashuah, yeah. Now, the question is, what would be a case where a kohen is not fit for service? Because normally a kohen gadol is a kohen for his whole life. So we have to give a scenario where the original kohen, for some reason now, is not fit for service. So therefore, we're talking about a case where, let's say, or a normal case, let's say, would be a kohen gadol was substituted, let's say. Right? It was substituted by a regular Kohen Gadol for a brief time. And then let's say the original Kohen Gadol gets better, so he returns to office. So normally the substitute is the one that cannot serve. Again, get this clear. Which means normally you have a Kohen Gadol, right? He's serving. Let's say something happens to him, so they bring a substitute. Okay? Now the substitute is a temporary job. Once the original guy gets back, so now the substitute becomes not able to serve. But the original guy gets his job back. Now, if that's the normal case, so we have a situation over here of mashuach she'avar. We have a case over here where you have a mashuach, he is the kohen she'avar. That means he must have been the substitute, and the original guy got his job back. Now, in this case, the question is, how could you have the substitute that was a kohen that was mashuach with the oil, and the original guy that gets his job back was only merubah begadim? Which is, how could the original be merubah begadim and the substitute only and the substitute had the oil? Which is the chaura, if the substitute had the oil, so the chaura, the first guy, the oil was around for him as well. So give me a case over here where you have this scenario, a mashuach she'avar and a merubah begadim. How could you have that at the same time? Again, the mashuach she'avar has got to be a substitute, right? Because that's why he's not fit anymore. Because it must have been he replaced a kohen. Once he replaces a kohen, and the original kohen gets better, so he's a kohen she'avar. But if he was anointed with the oil, so the original guy should have been anointed with the oil as well. So how do you have a scenario? So over here, again, the Mefashim explained, the Rosh says, it's talking about, well, let's say you had a kohen gadol, okay, and he was anointed with oil. Okay, and then what happened? He became pasul for whatever reason temporarily. So they brought a substitute. They brought a second guy. So the second guy was anointed also with oil. Okay, he was anointed with oil, obviously. Now, After they anointed the second guy with the oil was hidden. Okay, so there was no more oil anymore. And now what? The original Kohen Gadol died. The original guy. So now all you just have is a substitute. And now they appointed a third guy. So the third guy now is the official Kohen, Kohen Gadol, and he only has Begadim. So it's possible to have a case where you have an official Kohen Gadol and a substitute. The substitute had the oil, and the official Kohen Gadol now is Mirubabe Begadim. So the law is that since the official Kohen Gadol is the one that is serving now, and not the substitute anymore, because they appointed him for whatever reason, so therefore the law is that the Mirubabe Gadim, who is serving, does not become Tameh Terimeh Mitzvah, but the Kohen She'abar indeed does. But now the Gemara gives another case. Let's say you have two Kohanim that they left office for whatever two different reasons. Avar Mahmat Keruyo. Let's say you have a Kohen Gadol that he became a Baal Keri. So that's why he had to leave his office temporarily. Ve'avar Mahmat Mumo. Or you have another Kohen, the reason why he had to leave his office because he developed a Mum. Okay, any Kohen that develops a blemish also is not fit to serve. Okay, so the deen is, now let's say both of them are together and they see a mit mitzvah. So it says, Avar Mahmat Kedruyo Adif. The one that was had to leave office because of Kedi, because he had a discharge, he has a higher Kedusha. Why? The Ilwai Hazil Avodah Lemahar. Because at least the Baal Kedi Kohen, he's fit to serve tomorrow, because he's only Tamir for one day. The Ilu Avar Mahmat Mumo Lo Hazil Avodah. But somebody that left office because of a blemish, he's not fit for the service until he's healed, which is a longer time. He's not suitable. So therefore, the sanctity of the one that's a Baal Keri is higher than the one of a Baal Mum. And therefore, the law is that the Baal Mum is the one that buries the Bet Mitzvah and not the one that is a Baal Keri. Again, all these cases, we're just pitting up two different types of Kohanim. Which one is going to metameh for the Bet Mitzvah? Gemara says, Ibaya Leon, the Gemara has another question. Mashuach Milchama Uzgan. Heminayu Adif. Okay. You have two Kohanim over here. There's a Kohen Gadol that's called a Mashuach Milchama. What is that Kohen? He has a deen of a Kohen Gadol. He's anointed for battle. Torah says when the Jewish people used to go out to war, there was a special Kohen Gadol that would go out to battle with them, and his job was to give them like a pep talk. He would give them a musa before they would go out to battle in order to give them confidence. And this was the special Kohen, Mashuach Milchama. Okay, they would designate him with the oil in the regular way. Now, he has the laws of a Kohen Gadol, this Mashuach Milchama, this Kohen that's anointed for battle. He's forbidden to contaminate himself. He's forbidden to grow his hair like a Kohen. He has to marry a Betula. He cannot marry a widow. Has the regular laws of a Kohen Gadol. It's called the Kohen Mashuach Milchama. Now, you also have what's called a Segan Kohen. A Segan is the substitute Kohen. For example, like we learned in Masechet Yuma, let's say you have a Kohen Gadol that became a Pasul on Yom Kippur. For whatever reason, he became Pasul, so they bring this second Kohen Gadol in the wings. He's called a Segan, the vice, and he takes over. So now the question is, you have a Kohen Mashuach Melchama and a Segan, and the substitute Kohen. So the question is, whose Kedusha is greater? So Gabriel says, Mashuach Melchama Adif de Hazil Melchama. Do you say that the Mashuach Milchama, he is greater in Kiddusha because he is fit for battle, meaning, since the people depend on him, they need him, they're going out to war. Do you need a Kohen Mashuach Milchama to give them that talk, to give them the Musar before they go out to battle? He's vital. Or Dilma Segan Adif Tahazil Avodah. Or do you say, no, maybe the Segan is better because he works, he serves. She's the Mashuach Milchama is not a Kohen that serves. He's the Kohen that goes out to war with them. But the Segan actually does Avodah. He actually serves in the Beit HaMikdash. So maybe the Segan is better. So the Gemara says, Tashema, we have, come and learn from a Braita, the Tanya. And Ben Mashuach Milchama the Segan, there's no difference between the Kohen Mashuach Milchama and the Segan and the deputy Kohen. Ela she'ima yu malchin baderech umatzu met mitzvah. Oh, exactly this case. That if both of them were walking on the road and they found the met mitzvah, Yitma Mashuach Milchama, let the Mashuach Milchama contaminate himself, and not the Sigan. So what do you see? That the Sigan actually is on a higher level, because he actually serves. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'atanya Mashuach Milchama Kodim L'Sigan. We have another bride that says the exact opposite, that indeed the Mashuach Milchama is on a higher level than the Sigan. So make up your mind. We have a stira in the Braitot. Hamar Murzutra Le'inyan Hayoto Mashuach Milchama Adif. Amazing. With respect to sustaining both Kohanim, what's the case? For example, you have both Kohanim, they're under a pile of rubble, right? Who do you save first? Or they're in a well. Who do you feed first? You only have a limited amount of food. So sustaining them, that Mashuach Milchama gets sustained first. And that's what the second Braita meant, Mashuach Milchama Kodem L'Sgan, that you have to keep him alive before you keep the other one alive, which means giving him food, saving him. Maitama Detalu Berabim, because the masses are depending on him, meaning the people are going out to war, they need that Mashuach Milchama to give them the talk and to give them the Musar, so the people are relying on him for the war, so he comes first when it comes to being sustained. However, Ulanyan Tum'ah, but when it comes to which one is Metameh, Segan Adif, the Segan has more Kedusha. Why? Detanya, Rabbi Hananya ben Antigonos Omer, Lama Tiknu Segan the Kohen Gadol. What's the reason why they give the Kohen Gadol a deputy? Why do they make a vice Kohen Gadol? She'im irabo psul. Because let's say, for example, on Kippur, let's say the Kohen Gadol gets pasul for some reason. Harez in Nichnasu Meshameh Tahdav. So the deputy enters and serves in the place of the original. So therefore, he's potentially eligible to serve on the Yom Kippur service. However, a Mashuach Milchama cannot serve. He's not a Kohen that serves. So therefore, Legabet Tum'ah, the Segan is better. So therefore, the Mashuach Milchama will be Mitameh for a Mit Mitzvah over the Segan. Because the Segan potentially can be the one that is going to serve in the Bet HaMikdash on Kippur. Mashiach and the Kohen, a Mashuach Milchama, he's greater in the sense that if it's a choice between sustaining one of the two, he is sustained. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.